Then let's talk about Jesus
washing the disciples' feet.
So we are in our series through the Gospel of John, and last week we talked about two lives to choose from. Jesus showed us his example. He lived on this earth. He was willing to suffer. He was willing to endure the cross. Why? Well, of course, he was obedient to the Father. He wanted to bring glory to the Father. But he also said, for the joy that was set before him. He was looking forward to the reward that he would receive for his obedience and for following the Father's will. And we have that same choice. We can live this life focusing on the things of this world. The Bible says then we are at enmity with God. Or we can focus on eternal treasures in heaven. And then we'll receive full life on this earth as Jesus promised. But also, of course, eternal life in heaven. A perfect life with Jesus. We choose our treasure. We choose. You choose for your life. I choose for my life. We can choose money. We can choose fame. Or we can choose eternal treasures. Live this life focusing on eternity. We have the freedom to choose our treasure, but then God will choose the consequences of the treasure we choose. If we choose this world as our treasure, he will choose hell for us. And if we choose eternal treasures in this earth, he will choose heaven for us. So that was last week. Now we continue in John 13, Jesus washing the disciples' feet. It's one of the more famous stories in the church. I think most of us have read it several times before. We heard about it. It's happening in the same week as last week. So this is all between Jesus' triumphant entry in Jerusalem and his death and resurrection. So all these stories that we're looking at now are happening in this one week. So let's read this passage. It's a bit longer today. We'll read the whole thing, but then we will zoom in on a few specific key verses for today. So John 13, verses 1 to 17. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he came from God and went to God, he arose from supper and laid aside his garments, and took a towel and girded himself. After that he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. Then came he to Simon Peter. Peter said unto him, Lord, do you wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do you know not now, but you shall know there hereafter. Peter said unto him, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I wash you not, you have no part with me. Simon Peter said unto the Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said to him, he that is washed needs not except to wash his feet, but is clean completely, and you are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, you are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was seated again, he said unto them, know ye what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say rightly, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are you if you do them. All right, let's talk about this world first. How do things work in this world? How do things work in companies, in politics and everything? Well, I think we're all familiar with that. There are higher people, there are lower people, and who serves who? The lower people serve the higher people. Think about the workplace. People who are high up, what do? They tell others what to do. Most bosses, there might be some exceptions, but most bosses generally don't care about their employees. They don't really care about their lives, about their family, about maybe health or something a little bit. But why? Not really because they care for the person, but because they care for the person's performance. So, imagining I'm a worldly boss, I'm not a Christian, what would I look at when I look at employees? What can you do for me? How much money can I make out of you? That's mostly what the world thinks. Now, there might be some exceptions. I know there are some bosses who really care for their employees and who really have good relationships and everything. But most bosses are like that. In this world, if you're high up, you have the power, you have the authority to tell other people what you want them to do. And the lower people have to serve the wishes of the higher people. So they tell others what to do. They don't really care who is working for me as long as you perform. And what do you have to do if you're one of those lower people? Well, you have to meet the expectations of the boss. Because if you don't perform, what's going to happen? You're going to get fired. You're going to lose your job. And your boss is going to look for someone else who can perform better than you. Because that's all they want. They want to pay you as little as they can and want to get as much money out of you as possible, as in any way possible. We are used to this. This is how the world works. It has been the same during Jesus' time. This is just how it is to live in a sinful world. It wasn't meant to be like this, but that's how things work nowadays. Obviously, everybody wants to climb to the top because in a worldly sense, that's where the power is. That's where the authority is. That's where people think the freedom is. Because if you're down there, you're not free. You have people above you who tell you what you have to do. But if you climb the ladder and you become the boss or the CEO, or at least of your department or something like that, then you have the freedom to do whatever you want and you can tell other people what you want them to do. Everybody wants to climb the ladder. That's how it works in this world. Now, Jesus in this story turned that principle around. And he basically tells us, in the church, in his kingdom, things are not like that. We should be significantly different. So let's look at some key passages again and see what Jesus teaches us about what leadership is, what it means to be high up, and what it means to be low. Verses 3 to 5. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he came from God and went to God, he rose from supper, laid aside his garments, and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. What's so significant about that? Well, this was the servant's job. Washing someone else's feet is what the lowest people were supposed to do. If you're the lowest of the lowest in the house or in wherever you were, that's the job that you had to do. And it was a way of saying, I'm the low one, you are the high one, you're above me, you're more important than me, you're better than me, I'm the low one, you're the high one. It was really a symbol of status. The person who was willing to wash was willing to acknowledge, I'm not as good, I'm not as high in the hierarchy as you are. So this whole story was really not so much about having clean feet, or this custom was not so much about having clean feet, that was part of it, but it was also a way of communicating and expressing the social status. Who was above who in society? Now think about it. Who is Jesus? God himself? The highest of the highest of people. And he was willing to say, you know what? I'm going to wash your feet. Jesus was saying, I am going to voluntarily take the lowest
place.
I'm going to do the work that all of you dread doing. You don't want to wash each other's feet. But here I am, Jesus saying, here I am, and I'm willing to do what nobody else wants to do. Not because I have to, not because you're above me, not because you're better than me, because you're not. But I voluntarily do the job, and I voluntarily do the things nobody else wants to do. I'm willing to serve you. I'm willing to serve you for what is good for you. And I'm willing to let down my pride. I'm willing to let down my ego or anything like that. And I'm willing to go to the lowest place so that I can serve you. That's why Peter's reaction was like, hey, what's going on here, Jesus? You should never do that. Verses 6 to 8. Then came he to Simon Peter. Peter said unto him, Lord, do you wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do you know not now, but you shall know hereafter. Peter said unto him, you shall never wash my feet. Peter understood the social status. Peter understood the symbolism of what was happening here. He understood this wasn't about washing feet, this was about humility. Peter knew that Jesus is God. Weeks before that, months before that, he confessed when Jesus asked him point blank, he said, you're the Son of God, you're the Christ. Peter knew. So there was no question in him whether Jesus is an imposter or anything like that. He knew, Jesus, you're God, I'm a human being, I'm sinful, I'm a mess. You're the master, I am your servant. You're above me. And so from that perspective, of course, his reaction makes perfect sense to say, no, you can't do that. If anything, then I need to wash your feet because you're my master, you're the Lord, you're the King of Kings, you're the Lord of Lords, and I'm just a simple human being. No way. If anything, I wash your feet, but you are not going to wash mine. But Jesus insisted, verses 8 to 10. Jesus answered him, if I wash you not, you have no part with me. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said to him, he that is washed needs not except to wash his feet, but is clean completely. And you are clean, but not all. Once again, Jesus was telling to Peter and to all of us, we need to be cleansed. We need to be cleaned. Without Jesus, without him washing us, we will all perish. We are sinful, we are dirty, none of us is right with God, and all of us will end up in hellfire unless Jesus cleanses us. Unless Jesus washes you, you have no part in him. Unless Jesus washes me, I have no part in him either. We cannot be Jesus' children without being washed by him. We need to confess our sins. We need to repent of our sins. We need to seek forgiveness from Jesus. Unless we do that, we have no part in him. So is this story really about Jesus being willing to wash feet? Is that the main message here? I think there's much more going on than that. I think this story is a small symbol of what Jesus was going to do just a few days later. It's a symbol of the cross. From a worldly perspective, the cross is the ultimate humiliation. It's the ultimate point of being willing to take the lowest place. That's what Jesus did for you, for me, for everyone. If you give me a choice, washing someone's feet or going to the cross, I'll wash the feet. That's not that bad. Not that I would enjoy it, but that's doable. Going to the cross, only if I absolutely have to. No way that I volunteer for that. Jesus did both. He was willing to take the very lowest place to serve us. Much lower, much worse than washing feet. It was the ultimate demonstration of his willingness to humble himself. It was the ultimate proof of how far Jesus goes for our sake, for the sake of his children, for the sake of you, for the sake of me. Washing feet was a symbol. It was a way of Jesus saying, I am here to serve you. I am here for your benefit. And that's why I came on this earth. And a few days later, he demonstrated to all of them and to us how far he was willing to go to serve us. So for him, it was the ultimate humiliation. For him, it was the ultimate demonstration of him humbling himself for our sake. But what is it for us? The ultimate cleansing. Not the washing of our feet, but the washing of our souls. The washing of the very part of us that will remain in eternity. Our feet will stay on this earth. Our souls will live eternally. That's where we need the cleansing, not having clean feet. It was the cleansing that isn't temporary. Feet get dirty again. Feet need to be washed again. Souls can be cleansed once and for all. The moment we put our trust in Jesus. It's an eternal cleansing that will then lead us to eternal life. Now the disciples didn't know that during that point. They just felt like, he's washing our feet, what's going on here? Why are you doing that? You're the king. They didn't fully understand the full picture yet that we do. But we can look back and we can say, Jesus, yes, he washed their feet, but it was really a demonstration of his willingness and of his ultimate sacrifice on the cross. So Jesus finished his servant work, washed their feet, the job was done. And then he gave them this commandment, verses 12 to 15. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was seated again, he said unto them, Know you what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say rightly, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. In other words, he is now saying, I've demonstrated it. And then, of course, he demonstrates it even more on the cross in a few days. Now it's your turn. Do the same. Humble yourself. Serve others like I served you. Have the same attitude that Jesus had. Be willing to take the low place. Be willing to do the work other people don't want to do. Serve others for their sake. Not for your own sake, not because you want to get something out of it. Just serve others for their sake. Don't expect anything back. Serve for the sake of serving. So what's the difference to this world? Well, remember what Jesus said? I mean, first of all, he is still God. That didn't change. Just because he took the place of a servant and was willing to wash their feet didn't change the fact that he is still God. It didn't change the fact that he still has all power and all authority. Doesn't change the fact that he still has a good, a pleasing, and a perfect will for our lives. Doesn't change the fact that he is still the good shepherd. So Jesus is not saying that he's abdicating his throne. He is not saying that now that I washed your feet and I'm willing to serve you, now I'm no longer God, or I'm no longer special anymore, or stop worshiping me because I'm your servant now. That's not what he's saying. But the difference is, he is saying, if you want to be great, change the way you treat people below you. Don't be like the world. Don't be like everyone else and just, okay, this, I don't want to do this job. I don't want to do that job. I'll tell other people to do it for me. Don't treat people like that. Turn the principle around and say, the people who are below you, serve them. Do what is best for them. In God's kingdom, if you're high up, if you're a leader in any form, what does that mean? Serve the people under us. Simply serve, don't expect anything back. Don't depend on their performance. Don't depend on them giving you back anything. Simply love the people. Aim for the best for other people. Meet people's needs. If we get nothing back from them, fine. Why? Because we receive everything we need in Jesus, not from other people. Think about Jesus when he was willing to go to the cross. He trusted that the Father would give him everything he needed. He trusted that the Father would resurrect him. He trusted that the Father would give him the kingdom. He didn't expect anything back from the people that he served. He didn't expect anything from the 12. I mean, they all ran away when he needed them the most. The disciples didn't meet his needs. Judas betrayed him. He didn't expect anything back from the people that he spoke to. How often did he speak and people listened to him, and as a result they said, okay, I don't want any more of this. I'm not following Jesus any longer. Do you think Jesus was disappointed in people? Do you think Jesus sometimes thought, why can't you just do what I say? Do you think sometimes people really thought, I was hoping that you would give me some comfort, some love, anything, and I invested so much in you, and now you just leave me. You know, you just turn your back on me. Judas, now you just betray me. All those things. Jesus went through all those emotions that we are having all the time as well. People will disappoint us. Family, spouse, friends, people around us will disappoint us. So how can we keep going? How can we not be not feel like giving up when we go through all these disappointments from other people? We can keep going when we stop looking at people to fill our needs and start looking towards the Father, towards God, towards Jesus, to meet the needs that we have. Jesus didn't expect anything from the people he served, because he received everything that he needed directly from the Father. That's our way to live. That's our calling. Serve people, love people, seek the best for other people, invest in people, and trust that God the Father will meet all your needs, will meet all my needs. That was Jesus' lifestyle, and that's what he calls us to live like as well. What does it mean when Jesus called us and said, wash each other's feet? Well, not necessarily literal. I know some churches do that symbolically. I have been part of a small group in Shanghai where we did that also one time, where we literally washed each other's feet as a symbol of saying we are here to serve each other. I know sometimes couples do that at their wedding, also as a symbol of saying, hey, from this day onward, we are husband and wife, and we are serving each other. And they do that as part of the ceremony that they wash each other's feet. But again, this is only a symbol. This is not what Jesus meant. And so if we wash each other's feet once a week, then we are good. No, that was not his message. But the application is we need to have a different mindset from this world. We need to think differently of how we relate to other people. We can't relate to other people thinking, what can you give to me? Because that's how this world works. Everybody is walking around and everybody is going in any kind of relationship always with the thought, what can you do for me? And if you can't do enough for me or you can't do anything for me, I don't want to be friends with you. I don't want to relate to you because you're just going to drain me. That's how this world works. And everybody goes into relationships with that kind of attitude. And best friends and marriages and all kinds of things, if you don't meet my needs any longer, I'm out of here. And we are not friends any longer. We are not married any longer. I don't relate to you any longer. We, as Jesus' followers, can't live like that. We can't go to people with the attitude, you make me happy. You work for me, for my needs. You fulfill my needs. You make my project succeed. We can't have that kind of attitude. Our attitude must be, how can I serve you? How can I love you? How can I serve in my workplace? How can I be the best worker in my company that I could be, that I could possibly be? How can I serve the people living around me, my neighbors, my friends, people that I know? How can I serve the people that I meet regularly? Maybe we have a hobby or something once a week and we meet them and play sports together or something. How can I serve these people? How can I serve the stranger on the street? Person that I'm just walking by. Person that I see for the first time, maybe I never see them again. How can I serve these people? In this world, everybody is running around looking for people to serve them. We need to have a different attitude. That can be the strongest testimony to this world, that Jesus is really living in us. Because you can't find that anywhere else. You cannot find people who genuinely serve one another unless they have Jesus in their hearts. Everybody is running around looking for people to serve them. If we are willing to go into relationships with a different attitude, people will notice. And they will see Jesus in us. He said something similar in Matthew 20, verses 26 to 28. But it shall not be so among you. Whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. Whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Greatness in this world is defined as have as many people as possible serve you. Be the CEO, have the whole company serve you. Get a leading position in politics, have everybody in a country serve you. Get the highest place of authority that you can. The more people you have under you, the greater you are. Jesus here said, this is not how you define greatness in God's kingdom. In God's kingdom, greatness is the exact opposite. The more people you serve, the greater you are. Being willing to take the low places, like Jesus washing the disciples' feet, that's how you become great in God's kingdom. And if we are willing to do that, what will Jesus do for us? We'll get the highest places in heaven. God will exalt us. God will give us power and authority in this life and in the life to come. Jesus said the same thing in different ways several times. For example, Matthew 23, verse 12. Whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. Once again, we have a choice. I can exalt myself and say, I'm so great. And I'm so great according to this world. I am the head of the company. I'm leading this. I'm leading that. Look at all my achievements. Look at all these people serving me. Exalting ourselves. And what will God do if we do that? God will humble us. But if we are willing to say, you know what? I'll take the low places. I don't need the recognition from men. I don't need people to praise me and to say, hey, Bernd, great job. And you're doing so well. And this is awesome what you're doing. I don't need that. I don't need a title. I don't need a lot of money. I'll just take the low places. I'll serve the poor. I'll just reach people. We talked about it today. Maybe let's go to refugees and serve them. And we don't do that so that we get some praise in the newspaper or we appear on TV or anything. We don't need anyone to know. We just want to serve people. We just want to help people who are in the low places. People who are sick, people who don't have money, people who need help. And we just go to them and we're just going to serve them. That's what it means to take the low places. And then what will God do? He will exalt us. He will give us the high places. You see, we choose first. We choose either the high places according to this world or the low places according to this world. And then God will choose for us based on our choice. Now, which one do you want? Do you want the high places in this world or do you want the high places in heaven? I pick the high places in heaven. So what do I have to do to reach the high places in heaven? Humble myself in this world. Serve other people, love other people, not being in there for myself, not being in there so I get anything back from the people, but simply loving people and serving people for the sake of serving people. And if I do that, God sees it, He will recognize it, He will give me whatever I need, He will meet all my needs, and one day we'll find out that He will exalt us in whatever form He chooses. I don't care about that, but I do know one thing. He will exalt us. So practically speaking, how can we do that? Well, for example, we can meet people's needs. Do you know what a difference we can make simply by listening to people? Simply listen to people in distress. Comforting people who need comfort. Maybe give money to people who need money. Maybe spend time with people who feel lonely. Simply being there for one another, meeting people's needs. Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself. Putting other people's needs on the same level as our own needs. Doesn't mean that we have to sacrifice everything for the sake of others and then we have not enough to eat. He didn't say love other people more than yourself. He did say love other people as yourself. There's no contradiction with self-care. We need to take care of ourselves as well. Jesus took good care of himself. But in balance, we're serving others, meeting other people's needs. We shouldn't have the attitude, okay, first all my needs need to be met, and then I can think about helping others. We should have the attitude of, okay, I want to meet my own needs. I have to. That's biblical. But at the same time, I also want to meet the needs of other people. Put them on the same level. Look out for the good of others. Not going into relationships, not going into situations thinking what is best for me. But going into those kind of conversations, relating to people, also thinking what is best for them, what is best for others. Find a balance between these two. We all lean, that's human nature, we all lean towards first thinking about what is best for me. And then we kind of want to give the leftovers to other people. Let's think differently. And when we think, when we relate to other people, let's think, what is best for you in this situation? And can I do something to meet the need of what is best for you? And put other people's needs above our own wants. Maybe we have something that we want, but we don't really need it. And maybe another person really, really needs the very thing we have. Then maybe it's time to say, you know what? For me it's a want, for you it's a need. I'll give it to you. Whatever that means practically, but we should not put our own wants ahead of other people's needs. Because God wants us to love them as ourselves. Now, the ultimate way for us, of course, to serve other people is something much, much more important. Now, it is biblical to meet people's needs, give money, take care of other people, take the low places. I'm not saying this is something different. But ultimately, what people need is not our time, it's not our listening ear, it's not our money. Ultimately, what they need is Jesus. So the ultimate way of sharing, of humbling ourselves and serving others, is to share Jesus, especially with those who don't know him yet. Evangelism is humbling. I've done it for 12 years in Shanghai, 5 of those years full-time. I know that it's frustrating. I know that sometimes we pray our heads off, we spend time, we spend money, we spend energy and all kinds of things sharing the gospel. And in the end, they simply say, thanks, but no thanks. We had a good time, thanks for the friendship, but this Jesus guy, I'm not interested. So, bye-bye. I know evangelism takes time, I know it takes energy, I know it takes resources. But evangelism is the ultimate example that we can, or maybe not the ultimate, but it's one of the strongest ways in which we can take the low places and serve other people. I know from my own experience, very often evangelism feels like there's nothing in there for us. Sometimes it feels it's just frustrating, it's just discouraging, and nothing is happening, nothing is moving, and I'm just wasting my time. But evangelism is how we can practice what Jesus commanded us. Take the low place, humble yourself, and share Jesus with the people around us. Last application for today. I'm sure there are more, but last application is part of this message. The church. Most people go to church with the attitude, serve me. Give a solid message. Have great worship. Answer my questions. Serve me great food after the service. Make the church a way to serve me and to just make it the way I like it so that I feel comfortable coming here and I feel that I want to come back. And very often, if people have that kind of attitude, they start church hopping because their needs get met in that church for a while, and after a while it gets boring, or they have some other needs that are not getting met, and then they go to another church, and so over the years you see them every 6 months changing churches. Why? Because they always go to church with this attitude, serve me. Jesus doesn't want us to see our church like that. He doesn't want us to relate to our church like that. He wants us to have the attitude, how can I serve my church? How can I help? How can I help the church become better? How can I support the leadership? All these things. But also, how can I help people in the church? Is there someone in the church that I can pray for? Is there someone in the church that I should give a call, check on them how they are doing? Is there someone that I should invite to my home to have some fellowship with this person? See the church as a place to serve and not a place to be served. And I think if we all did that, this church, I'm not talking about Aletheia, I'm talking about the church globally. If everyone changed their attitude, everybody who is currently part of a church, if everybody said, I no longer go there to be served, I go to my church to serve, we would see a very, very different church. And we would see God's kingdom being expanded in much greater and much faster ways. And many more people would come to know Jesus. What do you think happens if a non-Christian comes to a church and they feel like, okay, everybody's just in there for themselves. Everybody is selfish. Everybody just wants something from the church. Or if a non-Christian comes to a church for the first time and they feel like, wow, everybody wants to serve me. Everybody wants to invest in me. Everybody wants what is good for me. In which scenario do you think they will stay? It's pretty obvious. So let's examine ourselves. What is our view on the church? Do we want something from the church? Is that our main aim, why we come to church, why we are part of small group, why we come on Sundays, why we are part of this community? Or is our main aim really to say, I come here because I want to serve people, because I want to love people? I'm sure all of us will have to admit we have both. I don't think anyone here is totally in only for themselves. And I don't care about the church, I just want me. I don't think anyone here is like that. But I also, knowing myself, I don't think anyone has mastered the perfect attitude of saying, I just want to serve people, I just want to take the low places. Let's ask God, if there is a hard attitude inside of us, then maybe he wants to change. And maybe there's some aspect where God wants us to step up and where God wants to say to us, I want you to change your attitude. I want you to take the low places. And I want you, as Jesus said it, I want you to serve rather than being served. So in summary, let's look for opportunities to serve others. Let's change our attitude in relationships, in friendships, in the workplace, wherever we are. Let's have a different attitude. Let's look out for the good of others. Let's identify areas in our lives where we tend to be selfish. And let's be like Jesus. Jesus was willing to wash the disciples' feet. Why? Because he wanted to serve the disciples. And a few days later, he was willing to bear the cross. Why? Because he wanted to serve you. He wanted to serve me. Let's ask God to give us a new heart. Let's ask God to give us a new attitude. Let's ask God to change our hearts so that we can become more like him. May we pray. Jesus, thank you that you were willing to give it all up. You humbled yourself to the cross. You humbled yourself in ways that we probably will never fully understand. You humbled yourself and you were willing to give up everything, to leave heaven and to come to this earth to live as a human being and to be under that constant pressure of, not being even allowed to make a mistake or to commit a small sin, because at that moment the whole plan of salvation would not have come to pass. You humbled yourself in ways that we never can, and thank you that we don't have to, because you already did all the work. But Jesus, we ask you that you will change our hearts, that we will now follow your example, and that we are now willing to humble ourselves just like you humbled yourself. That we are willing to take the low places just as you took the low places. That we are willing to let go of the things of this world for the sake of other people and ultimately for the sake of your kingdom. That we will just let go of all these things. Let go of our pride, our ego. That we will let go of worldly success and worldly ambitions and all those things. And we'll just be willing to serve and to humble ourselves. Jesus, please examine our hearts and speak to us how we can become more like you in this area. For the glory of your name. Amen.